CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO. Jeff, welcome back, and I have a cacophony of reports from the Middle East, none of them positive. The UK is considering strikes on the Houthis in Yemen, writes The Telegraph. After they launched their the Houthis launched their largest attack targeting British and American warships in the Red Sea. That was hours ago. Now, most recently, information from the Gulf of Oman that the Iranian Navy, credited by Iranian media, in black garb, masked, have seized a tanker, Marshall Islands flag tanker, filled with Iraqi oil that was bound for Turkey. This same tanker, according to Iranian media, was seized by the U.S. in violation of sanctions some year past. The tanker, by Iranian media, is said to have been guided to an Iranian port. At the same time, the Houthis are not solved in the Red Sea, the Houthis working as surrogates for the Iranian military, the IRGC. I'll stop there because this is about economic conflict. The tanker is now going to mean higher insurance rates for coming out of the Gulf. The arrows thrown into the Red Sea have already led to companies paying higher insurance rates or going all the way around the Cape of Good Hope. This is costing capitalism money. That's a good reason to settle, and there was a rumor earlier in the week that Maersk and perhaps one other large shipping firm was paying protection money to the Houthis. I welcome you back to a landscape that looks very much like a wider war, and Iran is no longer the hidden hand. Is that significant, Jeff, that they're coming out from behind the curtain? Good evening to you.
Well, I think it is significant, John. That being said, as you pointed out, this was a vessel that, in fact, had been Iranian, had been seized by the United States for violation of UN sanctions, so it's kind of a tit for tat. At the same time, there's domestic pressure, I think, on the Iranian government to assert their authority, to assert their strength in the aftermath of almost the largest terrorist attack that has ever occurred in the Islamic State, that being two bombs that blew up at a commemoration ceremony of the death of General Soleimani, killing literally hundreds of Iranians. Initially, Iran said that this was the United States and Israel behind this attack. Later, ISIS admitted this attack was by them. But I think there was a need for them to assert their strength in the eyes of their population. But clearly, there are multiple possibilities of horizontal escalation for this conflict stretching all across the region from Yemen all across, of course, Gaza. We're going to talk in a bit about the Houthis in Lebanon. Attacks continue on U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria. And now, of course, the seizure of a ship by the Iranians back in the Persian Gulf region.
What is not happening right now, this is Operation Prosperity Guardian. What is not happening is the Houthis are not intimidated, and clearly Iran is not intimidated. My measure of this, the puzzle is what is to be done. Whack-a-mole was what we talked about back in the Afghanistan-Iraq days. That did not work then. It will not work now. Is there a strategic solution to these multiple attacks, Jeff, or do the insurance rates just skyrocket and everybody has to reconsider the commercial shipping lanes out of the Gulf?
Well, it seems right for the time being, at least, with the Houthis, we have followed a strategy of hope as a method. If we can show them that we can deter them by denial, that is, destroy their missiles and make it virtually useless for them to conduct the attacks will stop. That, of course, has not occurred. And as you pointed out, the largest attack ever just was committed by them in the last 24 hours. And vocally and rhetorically, they have said they'll continue these attacks as long as Israel has forces in the Gaza Strip. As a consequence, Secretary of State Blinken is traveling right now in the Middle East again, and he has publicly threatened, and I'm using his word, consequences, if in fact these attacks continue. And there are also reports the Pentagon is preparing target lists for possible strikes against Houthi missile sites, radars, and the like to deter them now by destruction, deter them by punishment from further attacks. But again, this has that possibility then of horizontal escalation. And we have to dip back into the history of this particular area and realize that in 2014, when the Houthis took control of Yemen, that ignited a war between the Houthis and Saudi Arabia that went on for many, many years. There's now a very fragile ceasefire. Secretary of State spoke with both Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, as well as the prime minister of Qatar, and both urged restraint because from their perspective, there's a concern that if, in fact, the U.S. and allied forces respond and punish the Houthis, this might ignite that wider war, reignite conflict between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, and draw in other states in the region in a wider conflagration.
In the 20th century, I believe it was, I'm sure it was the Reagan administration, there was harassment and attacks on tankers in the Gulf as well. The U.S. Navy confronted that with action. I believe there was a platform destroyed and some Iranian fast attack boats were destroyed, especially one big operation they planned to launch and was pushed back violently. It was the U.S. Navy's action that stopped it. Is that something it is contemplated again in the Pentagon, a major attack on the Iranian Navy and deny it the ability to launch those fast attack boats?
They certainly will probably prepare a target list for that possibility. And frankly, because of tensions between the United States and Iran, I would imagine those target lists have constantly been in existence and constantly been updated. But in the short term, at least, if there is a military response, I think it'll continue to be in the Red Sea region directly against the Houthis because of this unique aspect of this ship having been Iranian that they seized and then seized by the Navy and seized back by Iran. I would not expect a major response directly against Iran for that. The real concern in that regard, to my mind, is a continued attack against U.S. forces in Syria and Iraq by Shiite militia groups supported by Iran. There have been over 60 U.S. service members have been injured. And we're just one step away, John, from if they were to get lucky, do a strike in which a number of U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq or in Syria, that you might have a major response either directly against Iran or certainly against those particular forces. Now, this has resulted in the United States conducting a series of responses which have not deterred these Shiite militia groups. Most recently, however, one of those attacks was right in the capital, Baghdad, taking out a senior leader of these Shiite militia groups who is also a member of the Iraqi security forces. As a consequence, there have been growing demonstrations in Iraq against the United States and pressure on the Iraqi government to demand that the United States remove its forces from Iraq, about 2,500 who are there in a counter-ISIS strategy. Clearly, this is an objective of Iran. Iran's objective is to get U.S. forces out of the region, most particularly out of Iraq, and they're doing that indirectly by announcing their support for, of course, the Palestinians, and then supporting these Shiite militia groups who are attacking U.S. forces, with that being their particular rationale.
Jeff, my puzzle here is that the U.S., with its incredible firepower in the U.S. Navy, is ceding the choice of battlefields to Iran or its surrogates. And that is not a winning combination in history, anyway. That does not tell the enemy to stop it. It means that there will be more variety. There will be other attacks on American allies or America and the U.K. themselves. Correct? That's what we have ahead of us, a series of incidents, and they choose the time and place.
That's exactly right, John. They've employed against the Houthis in particular what I would call deterrence by denial. In other words, we're going to destroy your missiles and render them useless so none of them get through and are able to succeed in their targets. And so far, that's been largely successful. That does not reassure the shipping companies. And as you pointed out, more of them are moving around the Cape of Good Hope. About 12 to 15% of global shipping passes through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. So deterrence by denial is not working. Well, then the second way of doing this is deterrence by punishment, going back to the source. Furthermore, you're confronted by this dilemma whereby you're basically employing $2 million missiles to shoot down $2,000 Houthi drones, which obviously also is not a long-term strategy that you can continue to employ.
The UK, are they independent actors here defending themselves? Can they open fire on the Houthi arsenal on their own, or is that going to happen only in coordination with NATO?
My guess is that will only be in coordination with the United States and this larger allied operation that the United States has created now of over 20 countries who are participating in one way or another to assure shipping through the Red Sea, in some cases actually escorting ship. And the United States will want this to be an international response, because throughout this particular confrontation, But what the U.S. and Biden administration position has been is the Houthis are not threatening the United States, in many ways, not necessarily directly threatening Israel in all these attacks. What they're threatening is the international community and global commerce, and therefore a global response. That being said, the principal countries in the region, Saudi Arabia, for example, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, are not direct participants, to the best of my knowledge, in this allied naval operation.
All of this suits Russia. All of this suits Russia because of the price of oil. Is that just collateral to this and not a primary? We can't say that Moscow calls up Iran and says, grab a tanker, you'll drive up the price of oil in the Middle East.
No, I think that's largely collateral. But in addition to that, of course, from Moscow's perspective, this turns the global attention away from the war in Ukraine and focuses it more and more on the war in the Middle East and the concern about horizontal escalation and this getting out of control. This puts more and more pressure on the United States in terms of the ongoing question, which has got to be raised very shortly with the United States Congress, and that is whether or not the United States is going to provide additional military assistance to Ukraine. And we know that's bottlenecked right now in the Congress. We furthermore know that the administration, the Biden administration, has announced that it has now expended all of the appropriations provided by Congress for Ukrainian military assistance. There's no money left. But at the same time, not only does it thwarted additional military assistance to Ukraine, it also has largely thwarted additional military assistance to Israel. And very soon, we're going to hear more and more, I think, clamor by supporters of Israel that the United States needs to provide military assistance there as well.
We're headed to Ukraine. Colonel Jeff McCausin, the United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, Dickinson College visiting professor and CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.